My name is Ian DeBay, and this is The Good System, the podcast where we talk about the good system. And if this is your first episode you watch or you listen to, you are lucky because today I will describe what the good system is. I will give a definition about the good system. And you are even more lucky if you like the word system, because I will use it a lot. But again, to the start, my name is Ian DeBay. I have the blog iandebay.com, where I write about the good system, how I think it should look like, how it will look like. I build a vision. And this podcast is based on this blog, and I try to build a vision about the good system. This is the 10th episode of this podcast. Yeah, let's have a party. And as I mentioned, I will now describe what I do. Yes, it took me only 10 episodes, but to be fair, I realized that I lack a definition of the good system after the first episode, because I was told so in a comment. In my first comment and my last comment. If you want to comment on my podcast, please do so on YouTube or wherever you can comment a podcast. So, the good system. What is it? What is the definition of the good system? The good system is a system of systems. There you have it, system loving guys and girls. The good system is built upon partly a political system, economic system, and social system, the society. And all these things are intertwined. So I think it is important to think all of these things, all of these systems together. I would even go so far and say we have to think about the planetary system and implement it into the system. That's the climate crisis and so on. The whole universe is part of it. So let's start with the political system. Even if it doesn't look like it, we have a clear winner in the political systems. Since humankind exists, we have tried many different forms of government, and the best is democracy. I have written many articles about democracy. You can read it on my blog, iandebay.com. The link is in the show notes. And I won't quote Winston Churchill, since I did that already on my blog. If you don't know what the quote is, guess it. Read the blog. But more or less it says, every government is bad, but democracy is the less worse. The less worst? I guess so. Read it. I don't know. But you get it. You get the gist. The political system we will implement to the good system is democracy, because it is the best. Even if nowadays recording this podcast in 2025, it looks like democracy came to an end, but the good system will be democratic. But don't make the mistake that elections equal democracy. There are many possible forms of participation in a democratic system. And elections are one part, but they should not be the main part. There should be other ways to participate, with petitions or protests, a whole kind of different things you can do. And yes, in the good system there will be elections, but there will be only one of the ways you can participate. That's the political system. Now to the economy. There we don't have a clear winner. And you might say that we do, that we even more than in a political system, we have a even clearer winner, and that's capitalism. And I say, nay, it's not. And let me explain. I think there were, or there are three systems, economic systems, relatively modern systems. Okay, there were feudalism and other things, but we over came them already. But there are three systems, economic systems, I will talk about. It's the free market, it's the social market economy, and it's the centrally planned economy. Before I start, there's one thing all the theories have in common. There's always the economy and the politics and the people. And in every theory, it's talk about how this work against or with each other. But I think we have to think economy as a whole. We are all part of the economy. We are the economy. The politics are economy, economy is economy, and we people are the economy. There's nothing you can do without people, without politics, without economy. So I don't think this triangle is a good view on this topic. And you always have to have in mind that this is, we work together. So let's go to the free market economy. Free market does not work. It can't work. Because if you really have a free market, if it's only about making profit in every part of our society, it will end in monopolies and oligarchy and in worse products, and at the end at a dead planet, because we don't have to think about saving the planet or saving our resources if the only thing we think about is profit. It does not work. It cannot work. Capitalism at its purest form will always end in self-destruction. I don't talk about even that a free market at the beginning. You have so many different levels where people start. You have the wealthy, you have the poor. And so before you could even start the experiment of a free market, you have to bring everybody on the level. You have to take away everything from everybody and then start the free market. And let's have a look who will be the winner. But this doesn't work. The free market doesn't work. And that's why the free market can't be a part. Even the free market evangelists had to admit that there needs to have some kind of government who protects private property and the public safety. But this is not enough. We need more state, more governance. And so we come to our next system, the social market economy. I would say this is the most popular economic system worldwide. And it takes parts of the capitalist economy and takes some centrally planned economy parts, what we will talk about later, and mixes it together to become the social market economy. But at the core, it's still a market economy, as the name says. And that's the problem. Even if the social market economy is by far better than a free market, because it can exist, doesn't make it right. At the end, the social market economy only slows the downfall, as we can see right now, because the wealthy get wealthier and the poor get poorer and the wealthy get more powerful. It just happens slower, but it happens in the end, because it will always develop this way, that the wealthy have more and the poor have fewer. And if the wealthy, if you don't make an income gap, an income limit, for example, they grow the wealth and wealth and wealth and wealth. The wealthy get wealthier and the poorer get poorer and this gets more and more. But this is what we see right now. And they have the power, they own the media outlets, they own the politicians, and so they change the policies and they try to make the social market economy less social and more market. And this will always happen if we don't take away private property. The next, the third, is the centrally planned economy. And you may think this, in my opinion, will be the right one, but it isn't. We also have seen how this economic system failed. For example, the Soviet Union. There were only a few people in power, and this led to corruption and mismanagement. That was because of lack of transparency, because it was anti-democratic, and because it was inflexible. The centrally planned system didn't work. It couldn't work, because it lacked of needed elements. This is what we want to do in the good system. We also want to mix kind of the market economy and the planned economy. We have at the core a planned economy with some parts of the market economy. I will talk about in depth in another episode, but just to get a feeling for it. The global government makes a 5-year plan. It makes requirements that have to be achieved in 5 years. Local governments, companies, and people influence these requirements and have a say in how these requirements look like, and it's all based on data, what people need and how things develop. And when the plan is established, the local government and the companies and the people do what they think is best to achieve these requirements. And all this will be reviewed quarterly, and the plan will be adapted, and every year the 5-year plan will be adapted if necessary. There will be a frame that is built by the global government where you have the freedom inside of the frame to work like you think is best to achieve the requirements. It may sound a little bit confusing, and I will recommend you to subscribe to this channel, to this podcast, and in the future you will hear or read about how I imagine the economic system for the good system. But in short, the economic system needs to be transparent, democratic, and social aware. And flexible, yes. These four elements need to be part of the economic system, I believe. But now to the social system. For a social system, there is no clear winner. There are many different societies that all work different. And every system is good, more or less. Of course, social systems that are unequal, that don't give rights to minorities, treat people bad, can't be part of the good system. Because in the core, the good system provides everyone safety and freedom. Because the good system provides everyone, doesn't matter how he or she lives, the same rights and the same law and freedom and safety. It all can be interpreted differently to an extent, but this core is the same all over the globe, all over the world. So you can live wherever you want and can be sure you have the same rights and the same freedom. Of course, there are different cultures, and the good system embraces the difference because it's the richness of human beings, of mankind, that there is difference. And the global system may not abolish these different cultures, but embrace it. And also like the economic system, it provides a framework of rules that are everywhere. But inside, every society, every culture can work a little bit different. And that's very important for a working global good system. The good system provides all the basic needs. You don't have to be afraid to not have enough money or nothing to eat or no home to live in. Transparency is one key element. All the decisions the system makes, global or local, needs to be transparent. You need to be able to participate in the decision making, however this will look like. But it needs to be part of the decision making that the people that live in the system can participate. It will be important, and this is a hot topic, I know, that there is no private property. Yes, you will own your own clothes and so on, but it can't be possible that you own land or the houses on them. Because in my mind, it doesn't work that you own land this is not possible. But you have strong rights that the government or anyone else can't just take it away from you where you live. You may be able to have a part of land that you take care of, and you have to take care of. That's the requirement for you to live on this land, but it will never be owned by you. It will always be part of the community. There will be an episode about this because it's a difficult topic, and yeah, I have to go in deep here, and I have already talked a long time. And now, yes, and now we come to one of my favorite parts of every podcast episode. This is where I read you the vision of, this time the vision of the good system. You may close your eyes, you don't have to, you can do the dishes or whatever you do while listening to the podcast. And I read you now the vision of the good system. And I promise I will use the word system. Imagine you wake up. You do not have to worry about having not enough money. You don't have to worry about what will happen if you get sick. You know, it doesn't matter where you are born. You have the same political and economical system that allows you to have your individual freedom and at the same time takes care of everybody. You can participate in the system in several ways. There are elections for your representatives, neighborhood councils, online petitions, and even your taxes and more that allow you to make your voice heard. What the representatives do is completely transparent, as are the flows of the public money. The economy is a planned economy, but not centrally planned. The global Senate makes requirements, but the local governments, companies, and people can choose how to fulfill them. The plan will be tracked and reviewed quarterly and adapted yearly. It depends on publicly available data and the input of local authorities, companies, and people. There is an income limit. This way, the gap between poor and rich is small. You don't own the place you live in, but you have strong rights that protect you from your landlord, who most likely will be the community you live in. And it protects you from the government. You can live wherever you like in the world. You have the same protection, safety, and freedom everywhere. The same currency too. There are local differences, since there are different cultures that the good system embraces. You have more freedom than ever because you are free of worries for your life, safety, income, health, or global injustice. So you can give your best to the community, to the good system. I hope it is more clear now what the good system is. I will go in more depth in the future, and I will make it a little bit different than the last 10 episodes. I guess after 10 episodes, it's time to change things, to review what has happened. And I won't jump every episode to another topic. I will make a small series to a specific topic. And since I talked now about the definition of the good system, I will start with a series about the political system of the good system starting next week. If you don't want to miss it, then please subscribe to the podcast on which platform you listen to, or subscribe to on YouTube, where you can also see me talking to a microphone. And on Spotify also there are videos. If you want to know more about the good system, you can also read on my blog, iandebate.com, more articles. And yes, you can also subscribe to my newsletter, where you will get once a month what happened the last month. It's a review of this podcast and my blog and, yeah, Ian the Bay. That's me. Yeah, I think that's the end of this episode. I hope you see me and listen to me next time, and I hope I see you in form of comments or whatever. Thank you for listening. Till next time, yours sincerely, Ian the Bay.